Good evening, everyone. I would like to develop Parshas Beshalach as a unit, holistically, as every Parsha must be thematically developed. Beshalach corresponds to a pretty neat, cohesive unit in the history of the Chumash, and that is immediately following Yetzias Mitzrayim and Parshas Bo, and following and preceding Matan Torah in Yisrael. Parshas Yisrael, next week's parsha, is the parsha of Matan Torah, beginning with the story of Yisrael himself, a ger, who, as we will learn next week, is kind of the Torah's model of the national gerus, which follows. So Yisrael is the cohesive story of Matan Torah. Parshas Bo is the story of the actual Yitzhak, the actual Exodus, the bridge, the period in the Midbar between Yitzhak Simon and Matan Torah is Beshalach. So to study Parshas Beshalach is to study what this period, what this bridge period between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah is all about. And there is actually a very nice underscoring piece of evidence for the bookends dynamic in Parshas Beshalach. Parshas Beshalach begins with Kriyas Yamsuf and ends with Melchamas Amalek in next week's Parsha, because Yisroh was inspired, Mashmo Shamoba, he was inspired by Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchamas Amalek. It is the two book-ending events in our parsha which are introducing the event in next week's parsha. So all of this points to, yes, indeed, Beshalach is a cohesive unit. After Matan Torah ushering in, after Yetzias Mitzrayim ushering in Matan Torah, the question is, what is its theme? Okay, so what is this period all about? And if we want to trace a thematic pattern, we need to pull out our magnifying glass and look for a phrase which keeps on reappearing again and again, pervasively permeating the parsha. And I think it's very clear what that phrase is. In the very first Ali in our parsha, Beshalach concludes with the words, Ubnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Rama. Held high hand. Bnei Yisrael has a confidence which is soon to be threatened when they see the Mitzrim on their heels and they are facing the sea. But it is introducing here a certain state, aura of confidence represented by a hand held upright. And the expressions which follow echo this. To split the sea, Hashem tells Moshe, Harem es matchu neteyas yadecha. Stretch up your hand. And you notice that the twin expressions, Yad Rama, appear in this phrase, this phraseology. Harem es matcha, uneteyas yadcha. Yad and Rama are both here. And actually the term netey itself, neteyas yadcha, is rendered by Unklus to mean Hirama. So even in the netey yadcha itself points to Yad Rama. There's a national Yad Rama, therefore. There is a leadership Yad Rama on Moshe Rabbeinu's part. And that expression, Etei Yadcha, appears several times in Moshe splitting the sea. And then we have the expression regarding the miracle at Yamsuf. Vayar Yisrael as Hayad Hagdola. They saw Hashem's great hand, and that gave them Emunah. Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo. So we have the term Yad here in terms of Hashem, and I would argue that that Yad is also linked to the word Rama, because the Oz Yashir which follows explains that the divine hand did what? Sus v'rachlo Rama bayam, tossing upwards, as Rashi explains. So it's a Yad which produced Rama, and this expression reappears in the Shira. For example, when it says, Natisa Yemincha, Hashem, your right hand was raised. Uncle renders it to mean Arum Yeminecha, right? Yad Rama. And it's in terms of a right, strong, divine hand. And in this vein, we have the expression Yemincha Hashem Adari Bakalach, Yemincha Hashem Teratziv, an expression about a strong, divine hand, right? Contrasting with a ill-fated attempt on the Mitzrim's part to assert their hand. Omara Yif Erdafasek Hachal Tur Tur Shem Nashi, right? where they speak in such terms, Torishemu Yadi, my hand is going to conquer. And it's a big joke. We see how far, right? It's like Baghdad Bob, like we joked last week, for those of us who still remember the Iraq War. A lot of bluff and bluster when you're a nobody, right? For old folks like me who remember more than decade-old history. But that expression keeps on appearing. Hands, right, and there are other terms, yamin and smol in the parsha. The right and the left immediately have certain hand associations. We think of a hand in terms of a right side, a left side. And it echoes all the way to the end of the parsha. Milchama Samolik, Moshe leads the Jewish people in war with his hands. Vakasher Yarem Moshe Yado. Precious. Yad Ramah, the same conjunction at the end of the parsha. Simple but precious discovery. It's like a treasure before our eyes. You see, that is the word, the phrase in the parsha. And the whole, I'm not going to say fortune of the war. It's not mazel, but the success in the war depends on Moshe's hands inspiring the Jewish people. Are they held upwards? Kasha Yar Moshe's Yadav Gavri Yisrael Kshinyach Yadav Gavri Amalek. The notion of, you know, echoing at the beginning of the parsha. Is there really a Yad Ramah? There's a Yad Ramah, but then a threatened Yad Ramah with the attack of the enemy in the beginning of the parsha, the Mitzrim in this case, Amalek. It's all a Yad Ramah. And finally, the parsha ends with the defeat of Amalek and the eternal affirmation of a battle on Amalek, ki yad al kes ka. There's a divine hand raised, and Rashi uses the word harama, rama, yad shel kadosh baruch hu, harama, the hand is raised. So you see, again and again in our parsha, we have this expression regarding the people, regarding Moshe, and regarding a kadosh baruch hu, hand held high. So that's clearly the important phrase. For me, that settles it. That's what Parshas B'Shalach and all the events of this bridge period, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, are about. In terms of the ill-fated attempt of the enemy to assert their hand, Torishem Yati, you have certain echoes of this in the post-facto expression of Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, when Yisro talks about what happened, and he's particularly focused on Kriyas Yamsuf, Yisro was inspired by Kriyas Yamsuf, as we said, Mashmo Shamo Bakriyas Yamsa from Mohammed Samalik, and moreover, various verbiage of Yisra speak to Kriyas Yamsa of Kiba Davar Shazadu Alehem. They were cooked in the pot they sought to cook us. They threw our babies into the sea, therefore they drowned them in the sea, because I'll say. So in that vein, you'll notice that three times Yisra speaks of the salvation of the Jewish people from the hand of the Mitzrayim, right? Parak Yurches, Pasuk Tes, Asher Hitzil Miyad Mitzrayim, and then Pasuk Yud Vayomer Yisro Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzil Escha Miyad Mitzrayim Umiyad Paro, and then Asher Hitzil Escha Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. Again and again, he saved you from Mitzrayim, in context clearly referring to Yamsuf, right? Parenthetically, I'll note, Hatzalah, salvation, is the term to describe Yamsuf. In the four expressions of redemption, Vahutseisi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilokachti, Vahutseisi, the actual exodus is what occurs in Bo. Hitzalti means you're safe. That's only at Yamsuf, when the Mitzri threat is resolved. So it's in Parshas Yisro, the event is described as Hitzil. It's Hitzil Miyad. So I'm just pointing out, right, the to be or not to be question at Yamsuf and throughout Parshas B'Shalach is whose hand is on top? Mitzri hand or Jewish hand? And powerful when we see how these different expressions about the hand, right, just in terms of our accumulating of clues before we tease out what it represents, all in terms of raised hand, Yad Ramah, and you also have this hand, whether it's the divine hand or Moshe's hand, associated with Amuna, right? You have Hashem's hand, Kol Yisrael saw say Yad HaGdola, and therefore Vayaminu, they believed, and then you have Moshe's hand at the end of the parsha of you, Yad of Amuna. His hand was were held high with a certain Amuna. Right here we have a mix of hand raised and hand with faith, connoting that Amuna itself is a certain assertion of confidence. Yad Ramah and Yad Amuna fuse in this greater expression on our parsha, because Amuna is the victorious position. It is in faith that we have through faith that we have a certain sense of confidence. There is no greater position of strength than faith. There's no greater harama, yad rama, than yad amuna. But the greatest fortitude is the inner fortitude of faith itself. That's a parenthetical point. But certainly we can embrace this discovery. We found our expression in the parasha. This is a story about raised faithful hands. One final piece of evidence in that regard is the Haftorah. The Haftorah, which is the story of Devorah, Devorah encouraging Baruch ben Avinom to defeat Sisera. He needs some coaxing, he needs some help, he needs some feminine help, which is why ultimately he's told the men have been derelict of duty. It's going to be a woman, it's going to be Yael who's going to defeat the enemy. And that great miracle is followed by a Shiras Devorah, which mirrors Oz Yashar. Well, you'll see the term Yad appears many, many times throughout the Haftorah as well, in an echo, an evocative echo, which now we can pick up on, which perhaps we wouldn't have without this pattern. For example, you have in the Haftorah and Perek Dalet Pasuk Zayin, Devorah promises Baruch, Unasatihu biyadecha, I will place Sisera in your hand. And then Pasuk Tes, right, when Baruch is feeble, and he says, okay, she says, okay, ki biyad isha, it'll be in the hand of a woman, right, echoing of Unasatihu biyadecha, it's not on your hand, it'll be biyad isha in the hand of a woman. And then a Pasuk Yedalad, Vatomer Dvaral Baruch, kum ki zahayom nasan Hashem asisera biyadecha, in your hand. And then Pasuk Chafdalad, Jewish success. Vatelech Yad b'nei Yisrael holoch b'kasa. There's a strong Jewish hand. See, again, it's a Jewish hand. It's a Jewish hand, a Jewish hand. And then Shiras Devorah glorifies the act of Yael when she picked up the peg and thrust it through Sisera's skull. So the act is described as an act of her hand. Perek Hey, Pasuk Chavav in the Haftorah, Yoda Layatet Tishalach Na, the Yamina, and she used her right hand. And you notice both the word Yad and the word Yamin from the parasha reappear here. Perhaps there's a particular evocative echo that Yael holding the peg might represent or might be a simile to Moshe holding his staff. So all in all, we have our really a splendid discovery of our expression in the parasha. It's the word Yad, and the question is, why is that term so significant? What does it tell us? What does it do for us? And we immediately realize that Yad is a big word here in the greater Kriyas Yamsuf story. We all know the study in the Haggadah, Yitzias Mitzrayim versus Yamsuf, the contrast. The Makos are described as Atzba Elokim, and the miracle at Yamsuf is described as Yad Hagdola, right? Which the Baal Haggadah darshins to mean there was a multiplication by five times of miracles, finger morphing into hand, right? If in Mitzrayim there were 10 miracles, then at Yamsuf there were 50 miracles, and the computation there follows from there. And we understand it's more than a mathematical computation. Certainly there's some greater symbolism in Yitzias Mitzrayim as a finger, a divine finger, while Kriyas Yamsuf is a divine hand punishing the Mitzrayim. There's something thematic there, which our pattern is now highlighting, and the question is, what is it? So you might say very simply, you might say, hey, a divine finger means there's a divine aspect. A finger is one extremity of the greater hand. It's not the whole hand. The whole hand means there's a certain sense of completion. The Makos of Mitzrayim were incomplete. It was Vahotzeisi, it wasn't Vahitzalti. The Jewish people were out of Mitzrayim, but they have the Mitzrayim on their heels. Rashi says that actually the Mitzrayim sent scouts after them to see if they would come back after 3 days. They were very much not out of harm's way. The Gemar HaYeshua, as the Yerushalmi says, was only at Yamsuf, and that's why the Yerushalmi says they only sang Shira at Yamsuf. As Maral further explains, Shira is always sung from a position of completion. You do not sing when you only have a fragment of Yeshua, because a poem or a song comes from a certain sense of wholeness and completion. You know, a poem or a song is this non-linear, larger than linear perspective, when you could see the greater picture of the story in a way that linear sentences can't, linear literary fashions can't, right? The Shira comes from a certain sense of completion, and Zecht Marel was only completion at Yamsuf, right? When the entire story and all the Midah Kenek and Midah of Mitzrayim had come full circle. So you might say on a very simplistic level, okay, you know, Yad is a big word here to connote there's a complete divine hand, there's completion. And at the end of the day, Hashem's Yeshua is not a fragment, it's complete. But there must be more to it than that. There must be some more meaning to the term Yad, and it's pervasively permeating the Parsha. Moreover, we really need to understand on a deeper level what Parshas Beshalach and Kriyas Yamsuf is contributing. What is the novelty to the great Yetzias Mitzrayim story? Hashem did great miracles in Mitzrayim. He more than proved his presence. What are the miracles of Parshas Beshalach really adding in terms of divine revelation? What? We didn't think Hashem could do the next step. We didn't think Hashem could complete the job. How is the divine revelation contributed to? So much so that I'm going to make the provocative assertion here that Klal Yisrael is never described as really seeing Hashem or the Shekhinah until Yamsuf. In Mitzrayim, it never says that they beheld the divine. The most they beheld was the evidence of the divine. It never says in Mitzrayim, even they believed in Hashem v'yaminu b'Hashem. The most it says in Mitzrayim, back in Parsha Shmos, is v'yamin ha'am v'yishmu ki pakat Hashem. They believed Hashem remembered them. They saw evidence of Hashem remembering them. Not of Yaminu Hashem, straight out, belief in God. And no direct vision. Vayar Yisrael say Yad HaChazak. They're only experiencing Hashem at Yamsuf. And for this reason, when you read the famous Pasuk in Parashas Vaschanan, Parak Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Oh, Hinisa Lukim Lavo Kachsmon Gami Karab Gai, dot, dot, dot. Uvamorim Gidolim, there were great revelations. This is the pasuk which the Baha God interprets as Zugi Lishrina, revelation. Ibn Ezra and Rabbeinu Bachaya both wrote Morim Gidolim, the great revelation means Yamsuf. The revelation is only at Yamsuf. It was at Yamsuf when you have Zeke Levan Veu, they saw the divine. I cannot find any expressions in Mitzrayim itself of the Jewish people beholding the divine or even directly believing in Hashem. It was indirect evidence for the existence of the Almighty. There is something qualitatively different about the miracles of Yamsuf and Parshas Beshalach. For the first time, it was a direct experience with Hashem. And I'm convinced it has to do with our Yad pattern, Yad Ramah pattern, and I want to understand that. So let's dive right in. I'm going to share with you a theory that I touched on in my Sefer on Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're going to expand upon it, Be'ez Hashem. Yad consists of five fingers. And there's a very obvious correlation between the number five and a hand, beyond the fact that a hand has five fingers. And that is, the Maharal writes that the letter Hey, numerically equaling five, consists of a dalet with a yud inside. Right? In Ksav HaShuris, a Hey is a dalet with a yud inside. Maral doesn't make a big deal about it, but he's certainly pointing to the fact that there's a deeper meaning in the Tzuras HaOsios. Right? The Hey, the yud and the dalet, the five sum is represented by the yad itself. Well, the Maral continues to explain what the significance of a dalet and a yud combo as in the letter hey is. He focuses on the shame yud k, the first two letters of the shame havaya, and specifically in the pasuk ki b'ka Hashem tzur olamim, the two worlds olamim, the two worlds were created with the letter yud, the letter hey. Chazal say olam haba was created with the letter yud, olam haza was created with the hey. Maral's explanation is the letter yud is a letter of absolute divinity. Yud is Chachma. Yud is the source. Yud is a point, Echad, source, indivisible, the divine source. Dalet, on the other hand, is the opposite. Dalet connotes Pirit, four directions, four Malchias. Yud within a Dalet means, says the Maral, a discovery of Yichud Hashem in Olam Haza, in the world of Pirit. Olam Haba is created with a Yud. Olam Haba is a place of absolute divinity. There's no threat to it. Olam Haza is a place where there's a world of Teva, a world which in which there seems to be disparate elements, but no, it's really created with a Hey. There's a Yud. There's a core which binds together, a divine core which binds together all the seemingly disparate aspects of this world. I would suggest from a Yad perspective, the five fingers, it is probably the thumb, the small finger, which is connected to the Yud. When you clasp your hand together, the thumb would probably be that Yud, whether you put your thumb outside your fist or inside your fist, right? I would suggest that that is the symbolism, because we know the physical Yad, B'Tselem Elokim, symbolizes the divine Mida called Yad, right? So it is, you have your Yud center, the coalescing core, which brings together the other forces. That is very exciting when we think about Yamsuf versus the Eser Makos. The Eser Makos will certainly correspond to the letter Yud, their Eser, and they are what are multiplying in terms of the five Simat Yamsuf. What would the distinction here be? Why are the Makos simply the Yud, but without the Dalet? The Dalet only appears at the Yam. Let me explain as follows. Mitzrayim is a country which worships Teva. As Rabbi Yitzchak Chava writes, the Tsar of Mitzrayim is the Tsar of Teva. The worship of the Nile River, the great Hydra god, is really a worship of nature. Mitzrayim, the Mekubalim tells us, is a contraction of the words Mitzar Yam, the barrier of the sea, water, fertility, right? Life in this world is a barrier that man can't see there's anything higher. Pyro says, Liu Rivani Assassini. He does not believe there's anything above his prowess as the king of Egypt because he feels ensconced by the Teva in which he resides. So in Mitzrayim, the focus of the Makos was really, literally, Makos, a declaration of war upon nature. All the Eser Makos threw nature into chaos. And perhaps this is most dramatic with the first and the tone-setting Makadam, when the sea turned to blood, which Chazal say was bloodying up their god, killing their god, the Nile River, right? When that bastion of fertility and a life-giving source was as though killed, right? The Hydra dragon has been slain, right? On all the Makos which follow, it's undermining the Koach HaMayim. What happens, however, at Yamsuf, in the Makos to the Mitzrayim at Yamsuf? Because the focus of the contrast of Yad HaGdola is not in Klal Yisrael crossing the Yamsuf, but in punishing the Mitzrayim. I say Yad HaGdola Shrasa Hashem Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael crosses the sea, and then the Mitzrayim are punished by the sea returning to its natural order, right? The Makkah at Yamsuf was not through slaying the Hydra god, not through slaying Teva, but by breaking out Hashem and nature itself, right? As I suggest in the Sefer, Yamsuf, Suf meaning not only reeds, but Sof, the end, there's a certain Midrashic echo. It's the edge sea. It's at the end of the Meitzar Yam, right? It's in fact out of the boundaries of mainland Mitzrayim. The Yitzia has happened already, right? Outside of the dangerous place where nature is seen as self-sustaining, at the periphery, at the Yam, which is at the Sof, there was able to be this greater Giloy that Hashem is not adverse to nature, stronger than, the Yud is not stronger than the Dalet. No, the Yud is within the Dalet. Right, and that's the symbolism of the Etzba becoming a Yad, right? And the computation of miracles, the 10 and to 50, is really symbolic. Hashem is coming together within the disparate world. And that is the greater Shlemus at Yamsuf. So long as Hashem is declaring war on nature, we really can't see him. We're living in the physical world. He's not revealing himself in our world. There is no Gili Shechina. There's no... such concept of Ma'orim Gedolim Zugi Leshchina before Yamsef. He's not revealed. He's adverse to our world. Through setting our world into chaos, there's an arrow which points to something higher. He's out of our world. Right? He's not in our world of Dalet. There's no Vayaminu Bashem. There's no Zeke Levan Vey ability to point at him. He's not in our world. We don't believe in him because we don't know him. We know of evidence of him. Vayamin Hashem, Kipakar Hashem. Clearly God, clearly Hashem intervenes for us. But we're not experiencing him directly. The Vayaminu Bashem and any Re'iyah, Vayar Yisrael Sigat HaGdol, it happens here. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsef is the breakthrough that Hashem is in our world and we can discern him in our lives. Zugi Lishchina, and I would believe that the Shechina in Mishkan, which the Torah says is completing Yitzias Mitzrayim, when it says in Parashas Tetzava, my Shechina will reside in Mishkan, and you'll know I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim, the Shachni B'Sochacham. That is really perpetuating Kriyas Yamsef. The Shechina, the Zugili Shechina began at Yamsef. The concept of a Shechina amongst us really began at Yamsef. Mishkan is making it an everyday fact, and that is why the first mention of having a Mishkan is actually at Yamsef. Zakeli Va'anveyu. This is my God. Seeing him directly, Va'anveyu, I'm going to build a home for him. Now I can live with him. Now he's not an abstract, albeit protector, but abstract and distant, with all the coldness of a God who's removed, but he cares. He emerges. No. He's in my world. Shechina. Everything is Shechina. It's Moros Zugili Shechina, as we explained based on the Rishonim as a reference to Yamsef, that follows the Zakeli Van Dehu. And really the entire Beshalach is the Gili of Yad, therefore. It's all the Gili of Yad. Beshalach, and this period of Midbar, is all about the notion now you're out of Mitzrayim. You're out of a nature which is adverse to Hashem. Now there's a clean slate. It's an inhabitable wilderness. There's no threat here. Hashem is restarting a new epiphany of nature. There's no threat here. Hashem is not going to declare war on a local natural order. There is no natural hospitable order. Hashem introducing man, introducing be'er, Anani HaKavod, he's taking care of you in a vacuum. He is in front of your very eyes, building your natural order, building your life order. He is in the nature. That is the great epiphany here of Shechina B'Tachtonim. And that's why this is all a parasha of Yad. I believe this is the deeper symbolism of the Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod, which he led us with in the Midbar, which appeared at the very onset in Parshas Peshalach, an Anan is the symbol of divine presence. Hashem always appears in an Anan. There was no Anan in Mitzrayim. Parshas Peshalach, the Shechina is here. Out of Mitzrayim, the Shechina is here. Significantly, this is a parenthetical point. When does the Anani HaKavod appear? When Klal Yisrael travels from which place? By Yisu Misukos, and then it says, Hashem Holach Lefnei Yomam. The Sukkah reference, right? That protective element associated with the Anani HaKavod, and hence, this I believe is the source of Chazal's Lema, the Sukkah is the Anani HaKavod, because Sukkos and Anani HaKavod juxtapose each other in our parasha. But I mention this because the aspect of Hashem sheltering us is really the notion that He's with us. He's with us in the greatest Dalet, in the place where you might fall prey to the belief that there is the greatest vacuum of the divine. You're in an inhospitable environment. There's danger. Hashem is encompassing you. He's in the dangerous zone. He's creating a safe space. He's protecting you. He's shielding you, right? He is in that dangerous zone. He is not removed from your world. He's not protecting you from a removed place. He's in your world. He's right outside. He's right on the outside. He's outside of you. He is your sukkah. He is your Anani HaKavod around you. Of course, I only have covered sucker itself underscore the Yah theme. The sucker is described as the divine hand. Miyamincha techapkeni, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Hashem says, I hug you with my right hand. That's a reference to the sukkah in the Anani HaKavod. Right? I would argue even the term tzel itself associated with a sukkah has a yad connotation. But tzel k'nafecha tastireni. Right? Your wing, your arm serves as tzel. Or Hashem tzilcha al yad yaminecha. Hashem is your tzel on your right side, your right hand. Right? I would furthermore suggest that the expression Hatzala, which we traced in Kriyas Yamsef, Hitzala Samitavs Yad Mitzrayim, the Votzei Veit Salti, Hatzala is the expression of Kriyas Yamsef, Hatzala from the word sell, underscores this Yad theme. It's a protective hand encompassing us. You'll further appreciate from this perspective in the above cited pasuk I read in Vaschan, Ohinisel Kimbabul Kachas Lugami Karav Gai. So before it says Morim Gedolim, which is a reference according to the Rishonim to Yamsef, it says Ubizro and Netuya. Ibn Ezra and Rabbeinu Bahaya both read Zro and Netuya as a reference to the Anani HaKavod. Zro and Netuya, the outstretched arm, I believe they're picking up on all of these associations of a hugging, protective hand, but Sel Kenafecha, right? So here we have a thematically cohesive picture emerging. Here in Midbar, Hashem is present, and that's what Yad is about, the Yud within the Dalet, and all of the imageries of the protective hand encompassing you in the dangerous zone. He's, right, the dangerous zone is outside of you, well, he's on the outside. He is right there with you in the dangerous place. I would argue it is significant as well, from this perspective, the celebration of Sukkos and the Anani HaKavod for eternity in the Hoshanah process on Sukkos. It highlights the name of Hashem Ani V'ho, Ani V'ho Hoshiana, which is rooted in our parsha, as Rashi says in Sukkah Daf Mem Hei. Ani V'ho is an abbreviation for the 72-letter name of Hashem, which is spelled out in various psukim in our parsha at Yamsuf, 72-letter psukim. The pasuk of Ayisa, the pasuk of Ayavu Bein Machanan, and the pasuk of Ayet Moshe. Now that 72-letter name of Hashem represented by Ani V'ho, Tosus tells us means that Hashem is Imo Anochi B'tzar. Hashem is with us in danger. Hashem is, the Yud is within the Dalet, and Rashi in Sukkah highlights that these are Pesukim and Parsha Shalach. Rashi doesn't usually highlight a Parsha. I believe it's all encompassed in the Rashi, the notion that Hashem being amongst us is a greater Parsha B'Shalach theme. Hashem is not external, intervening in an inhospitable world, but Hashem is present in an inhospitable world. This takes us right to the end of the parasha in Amalek. Klal Yisrael Deat Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, is Hashem amongst us providing our provisions. Mechamas Amalek, says Rashi, is to reassert the truth, I am very much amongst you. Nefesh HaChayim understands the entire notion of Moshe's hand stretched up to heaven is to defeat Amalek, is to underscore the truth of Einod Movado. There's nothing outside of Hashem, which means nature is not independent and quashed by Hashem, but is an expression of the divine. That's when Moshe's hands raised to heaven to advance the purpose of Mishtabdam Liyum Labim Shabashamayim. It is a subordination to divine, a subordination of Bittul, that the divine is really present in our world. That itself underscores this theme, and that is why Yad Ramah becomes the greater verbiage in our parsha, right? Just like the Yad Ramah of Moshe, it's a hand stretched up, pointing heavenward, as in the heavens, the divine sphere is really the source of this world. This world is not detached from him, right? The Dalet has a Yud in it. That Yud from the upper world is present in the Dalet. Right, and hence the Om has us really a hey. That's the deeper symbolism of the Yad Raman. Specifically, it's the Yad pointing up to heaven. It's the Yud and the Dalet pointing up to heaven. The Dalet has a Yud inside because the lower world is really an expression of the upper world. How magnificent from this perspective that the parsha ends. Ki Yad Al Kes Ka. the defeat of Amalek is with the assertion of Ka, Yud, and He. Yud and He. That is how our parsha is concluding. You know why? That's the entire theme here, the Yud and the Dalet. There's a Yud in the upper sphere. This lower sphere, which is a sphere of Dalet, it has the Yud in it too. The world with all of its period, with all of its disparate elements. This lower world is really an expression of the upper world. Hashem is totally amongst us. Parshas Bo is just revealing the Yud. Yeah, there's a greater force called Hashem, but that Hashem is in our world, the completely of Ka, that's what Parshas B'Shalach brings together. The Mekubalim explain that the Yud and the He are inherent. The Vav He of the end of Shem Havaya is Tali and Ma'aseh B'Dei Adam. The Ka is always relevant, is always present. The Vav and the He depends on human behavior. That's why Amalek is able to threaten the Vav and the He. Kiyad al Kes Ka, Rashi says, so long as Amalek, so long as humans are antithetical to Hashem, there's no Vav He. Vav He is dependent on human behavior. Some of Kabbalim say that Vav is connected to Torah and He is connected mitzvahs. Right? So I'm going to suggest the divine revelation of Yetzias Mitzrayim has to end with B'Shalach. Right? The Yud, the fact that there's a greater divinity, that's revealed through Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there's not a notion of, hey, that Hashem is present in this world. The Gili of Kakes Ka hinges on Parshas B'Shalach. Now we're ready for Matan Torah, because Matan Torah is the next phase. Matan Torah is to say, now there's a Yud and a Hey revealed. Hashem on his end is fully revealed. Now humans could do their part. Torah and mitzvahs, which corresponds to the Vav and the Hey. How delicious from this perspective, the realization that Yisro, Parshas Yisro, is a Parsha of Gerim, whether Yisro personally or Kol Yisro nation of Gerim. The two great Gerim are Yisro and Moshe. Yisro's Geirus is marked by a Shine Hashem, a name change. The Yisro becomes Yisro, that's the Vav. Avram's Geirus is marked by Avram becoming Avraham, that's the Hey. I would argue the Vav, which is connected to Torah, is Yisro, because Yisro is Shaykh to Torah. Yisro is in Parshas Yisro. Matan Torah, he's called Choviv because he loved Torah. Chibib as a Torah. Moshe's Makarvel a Torah, says Rashi. He introduces a Yisro Parsha Achas Sheba Torah. He introduces a narrative in Torah, the Parsha of Dayanim, Talmid Chachamim. Yisro is Mr. Torah. I would argue Avram is Mr. Mitzvahs. Avram is Begum Machu Ramach 248, the Mitzvahs Haseh. Avram was Kiyam as called Torah Kulu, the Mishnah says. He fulfilled. Avram did not have Torah. Avram was Mr. Mitzvahs, right? The Vav and the Hay. Torah Mitzvah says Yisro and Avram. Yisro, which is the completion of the Avram story that's coming after B'Shalach. I once told this to Mori Rabbi Abnacham Lansky and his eyes lit up. This is clear. Follow the Yud Ka, Bo B'Shalach. Then comes Yisro, the Vav and the Hay, Torah and Mitzvah. He said, this is only the tip of the iceberg. There has to be so much more to this, right? But as is Hashem, we will continue on this theme. But the power of the pieces coming together, the Yad theme, the Yud Ka, spelled out on the end of the parasha, which is then followed by the Vav Ka of Torah Mitzvah, is very, very powerful. And what we walk away with is the message: before we do our great things, our Torah and our Mitzvahs, we need to be in touch with the divine truth. So long as Hashem is distant from us, he's great, he's powerful, he intervenes, but he's a distant, abstract God. That's not Yud Ka. We don't have the Emunah we need yet to pursue Torah and Mitzvahs, Matan Torah, Parshas Yisro. The notion of Parshas B'Shalach, the Yud, is in the Dalet. Hashem is in our lives, available, accessible in our lives. That's the divine revelation. That's the sense of Hashem we need in our lives to then do our part, the Torah and the Mitzvahs. May we all be Zocha L'Kach. Amen. Kein Yehi Ratzai.
Let that be Shabbos also. Because when Shabbos comes in, right, we're it's also the